Italian Prime Minister Mario Draghi welcomed the G20 leaders to Rome, but said in his opening remarks that governments have to work together to face the global challenges.
First of all, I'd like to say that it's great to see you, all of you here, after a difficult few years for the global community. The pandemic has kept us apart, as it did with all our citizens. And even before, we faced protectionism, unilateralism, nationalism. But the more we go with all our challenges, the more it is clear that multilateralism is the best answer to the problems we face today.
He also urged countries to increase efforts to get coronavirus vaccines to the world's least prosperous countries.
The pandemic is not over, and there are startling disparities in the global distribution of vaccines. In high-income countries, more than 70% of the population has received at least one dose. In the poorest ones, this percentage drops to roughly 3%. These differences are morally unacceptable and undermine the global recovery.
Prime Minister Scott Morrison also stressed the need to address the challenges ahead.
This is a very pivotal time for the world. The pandemic is still raging, and the economic recovery, particularly in the developed world, is really getting underway. And so it's important that we balance these challenges as we go forward.
The G20 group is made up of 19 countries plus the European Union. China's President Xi Jinping and Russia's Vladimir Putin are not attending the summit. Instead, they appeared by video link. President Putin called on the world's developed economies to mutually recognise each other's vaccine certificates to help restart economic activity following the COVID-19 pandemic.
We propose tasking the health ministries of the G20 states to swiftly work on the mutual recognition of vaccine certificates. Experts say the coronavirus will pose a threat for a long time. I think the WHO representatives will speak more on this, but given that the virus will continue to mutate, we should develop mechanisms for a systemic and swift renewal of vaccines.
On other issues, the US, Germany, France and Britain urged Iran to resume compliance with a 2015 nuclear deal in order to avoid a dangerous escalation. India's Prime Minister Narendra Modi extended an invitation for Pope Francis to visit. But one of the key issues to be agreed on was a deal on a global minimum corporate tax of 15%, with a view to have the rules in force in 2023. Recently, over 130 countries reached a deal on a minimum tax on global corporations, including internet giants like Google, Amazon, Facebook, Microsoft and Apple, to make it harder for them to avoid taxation by establishing offices in low-tax jurisdictions. The head of the OECD and former Australian Finance Minister Matthias Cormann says it's an important move.
It's the 100 thereabouts largest and most successful multinationals around the world now have to pay their fair share of tax in the markets in which they operate and generate profits. And on top of that, we've also agreed, and leaders have agreed, to a pillar two of that reform, which introduces a minimum corporate tax rate of 15%. So what that does, it completely eliminates the incentive for businesses around the world to restructure their affairs in order to avoid tax.
Meanwhile, Australian Prime Minister Scott Morrison met face-to-face with French President Emmanuel Macron for the first time since Australia abandoned the $90 billion French submarine programme. He described the brief encounter.
He was having a chat to someone. I went up and just put my arm on his shoulder. I said, "G'day, Emmanuel, and look forward to catching up over the next couple of days."
It comes after US President Joe Biden met with his French counterpart and conceded the handling of the AUKUS submarines deal was clumsy. Mr. Morrison, though, defended Australia's decision.
There was never an easy way for us, I think, to
get to a point where we had to disappoint a good friend and partner in France that we wouldn't be proceeding with that contract.
But he's
that was always a difficult decision for Australia. It was the right decision for Australia. We worked closely with the United States and the United Kingdom, and we kept them up to date, the administration, with where we're at in our various discussions with France.
The G20 Rome summit comes back to back with the much-anticipated climate conference, COP26, in the Scottish city of Glasgow, beginning on Monday. It's being seen as the most important gathering of nations since the Paris Climate Conference in 2015, and world leaders will travel there straight from the Italian capital. Despite not being officially invited to the conference, Swedish climate activist Greta Thunberg arrived in Glasgow by train to a noisy reception and had to be escorted by police.
This is not right!
Come on!
Back up, back.
Come on! Get out of here! Get out of here!
Give us some space! Give us some space! This is
meanwhile, back in Rome, activists drew attention to the issues at stake on climate. Dressed as members of the famous Swedish band ABBA, they stood in front of cardboard images of world leaders, asking them to honour their commitment to provide over $130 billion a year to support developing countries in tackling climate change. Oscar Soria, campaign director for the global activist movement AVAZ, urges leaders who are meeting in Rome to act.
We expect in the G20 that it's not a blah, 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 as Greta has expected, but it's actually money, money, money. We want just to see the five top countries in the G20, United States, United Kingdom, Australia, Canada, and Italy, to fulfill their promises. This is not money that is out of charity. They owe this money for all the poor people around the world that are suffering from the impact of climate change.